This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. It's hard to believe that we're already coming up on the 13th anniversary of 9/11. Do you remember where you were when you first heard the news? It's one of those searing, unforgettable moments in our national history. Yet, since 9/11, the threat of radical Islam seems to be growing even more.
Since 9/11, there have been other attacks, even some on American soil. Radical Islam around the world dominates the news, and often Christians are their targets. On today's program, you'll discover how the true threat is being underplayed in America, and we'll share an exclusive new resource with you that sheds powerful light on this issue.
And I'm John Sorensen. A bit later in the program, I'll be back to share the good news of how God's Son died to win our acceptance with Him.
And we begin today with a bold and provocative message from my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, that he preached at the time of the first anniversary of 9/11. It's called America Remembers.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the second Book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We will begin with verse 17. May we hear the inspired and infallible word of the living God. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And may God speak through his word to our hearts this day, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. America remembers. Remembers not only those on Flight 93, but those on the flights that flew into the World Trade Centers. We remember those airline pilots, all of whom were killed, the stewards and stewardesses, all of whom were killed, all of the passengers, so many hundreds of the people in the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon that were killed. They were the heroes, as well, I might add, as all of the soldiers and special forces and Air Force people who have been killed as a result of that in Afghanistan, as a result of the war that was precipitated by these events. There, of course, are other on the dramatis personae of this tragic drama, and they, of course, were the villains. There are people who must share the blame, and as long as history shall last, those 19 terrorists that killed some 3,800 plus innocent civilians will go down in infamy, and rightly so. There is also a third person involved in this, about whom I believe you will hear absolutely nothing. And that is the most important person in all of this, and that is God. I read an interesting portion of Scripture today. I wonder if you noticed something about it. It describes a number of terrible things. Right before where I started, we read that God said in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 7, he said this, and please note the personal pronouns. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and then follows the familiar verse, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I forgive their sins and heal their land. I. Or in the actual portion that we read today, we were told that if they turned away from God and forgot his statutes and his commandments and turned and sought other gods and worshiped them, and now notice the pronouns again. Then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, the temple, which was just dedicated that very day, and I will cast it out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. This house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And there was no fist of God seen in the demolishing of the temple, but rather he says that he will bring Nebuchadnezzar and those cruel and hasty people, the Babylonians, into this land. And it was Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians that smashed the temple. No visible, tangible hand of God at all. Did he have nothing to do with it? Dear friends, he had everything to do with it. And of course, that's what the founders referred to it as, the invisible hand of God. Have you seen the invisible hand of God? Have you repented of that? Well, what have we seen in this last year? What evidences of a return to God and a repentance of our turning after other gods and forgetting God and his commandments? I left out the final verse of that chapter, which says, those that pass by will say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Have we done that? Which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, where they were persecuted, as our forefathers were persecuted in England, and hath laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. What will it take, America? I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to determine that through the rest of this year, you are going to daily pray for the church and for the nation. that God will cleanse us all, forgive our sins, cause us to repent and turn and follow Him, that there may be a great awakening and a great revival in this nation. If we will do that each day, I believe that God may very well hear that prayer and forgive our sins and heal our nation. Will you do that? Commit yourself to pray each day for the church and for the nation. If so, will you stand with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy church here in America, for Thy church here at Coral Ridge, for Thy church all over the nation and the world. Oh God, that You'll bring Your people back to Yourself, that they may repent and seek Your faith and turn from wicked ways. And, O God, we pray for our land, this land which You have given unto us, reserved so many centuries in the midst of the seas, and given over to Christian founders who have given to us such a wonderful government. We pray, O God, that You'll forgive us for letting that wonderful patrimony sift through our fingers like sand, and the godly culture that was ours be twisted and perverted into that which is vile and ungodly. O God, hear our prayers, we pray, O Lord. Forgive our sins and heal our land, we pray. Amen.
I hope that you've been faithfully praying for the healing of our nation. We need that now more than ever. And I believe that God is doing something great in our country right now. The Bible tells us where sin abounds, grace abounds even more through the great salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ. You see, while we were still sinners, God demonstrated His love for us when He sent His Son Jesus to die in our place. He took the punishment that we deserved, and through that act, He made possible for us to have fellowship with Him. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ, and you know that you need to, we can go to God in prayer together right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and that I have missed Your perfect standard in so many ways. I humbly ask for Your mercy and forgiveness. Please come into my life and make me all that You want me to be. Thank You for the free gift of eternal life. In Your name I pray. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer and meant it. And if you did, you've begun a journey that will take you all the way to paradise. To help you on that journey, we'd love to send you Beginning Again, a book written by Dr. D. James Kennedy. In it, you'll learn how to read and study the Bible, which is something that every believer needs to do. You'll find the book of John from the New Testament, as well as answers to commonly asked questions. There's much more in here, so please contact us today and ask for Beginning Again. Just write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
As my father pointed out in today's message, 9/11 caught this country by surprise. Many people woke up on that beautiful Tuesday morning having no idea that war had been declared on our nation. Think of the thousands who went to work that day at the World Trade Center or at the Pentagon, not realizing their lives would end or forever change.
Since 9/11, there have been other attacks in America motivated by radical Islam. Yet the media and even the government have often presented a sanitized version of events. Some journalists speculated in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombing of 2013 that it must have been done by Tea Partiers since it happened on tax day. In reality, it was two jihadist Muslims. And as you're about to see, that pattern of denial is not new. Let's take a closer look.
If you take Islam and Islamic ideology off the table, as the media have done and as our government have done for the last 20 years, then you cannot protect yourself.
The American media is determined to whitewash Islam, to explain away every incident of Islamic violence, even when the perpetrators avow that they were doing it for Islam and under Islamic auspices.
You sense that there's an attempt on the press to write a narrative the way they want that narrative written.
It's the whitewashing of Islam.
On November 5th, 2009, Major Nidal Malik Hassan, an Army psychiatrist, allegedly opened fire on his fellow soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, killing 13 and wounding 31 others.
Attention! Seek shelter immediately.
Though he belonged to a radical mosque in Virginia, where two of the 9/11 hijackers had attended, the imam of which was eventually deported, and though he was shouting, Allahu Akbar, which means, Allah is the greatest, when he began shooting, many in the media refused for days afterward to draw any correlation between Islam and the attack.
You don't throw, yeah. You don't take the guy's last name and impugn the Islamic nation. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? That is irresponsible and it is ridiculous to say.
Major Hassan's trajectory here would be something that we used to call going postal.
The Society of Professional Journalists adopted guidelines right after 9/11 that forbade journalists from speaking about Islam and terrorism together. And so that's why you see AP, Reuters, all the rest of them, they generally speak about militants, insurgents, that kind of thing. They don't speak about Islamic jihadists, even when it's an Islamic jihad.
If you have to, in the case of, let's say, the jihadi screaming Allahu Akbar, don't forget to mention other religions that have committed terror.
It's looking more and more like he was just sort of a religious nut. And you know, Islam doesn't have a majority, the Christian religion has its,
corner on
its
that.
Helping of nuts, too.
When it's a manifest, obvious Islamic jihad, like the Fort Hood jihad massacre, where the Major Nidal Hassan was shouting Allahu Akbar, and he passed out Qurans that morning, and so on, they try to find some other explanation, no matter how outlandish. In that case, vicarious post-traumatic stress disorder, which nobody had ever heard of before or since. The media is intent upon not telling the truth about Islamic jihad activity.
A study by the Culture and Media Institute of network television coverage of the Fort Hood shootings showed that Hassan's terrorist sympathies were mostly absent from the three major broadcast networks' news programs in the 5 days following the shooting. The report noted that 85% of the network's reports omitted the word terror and 93% ignored terror connections.
And the media has been AWOL on Islam for 20 years. Americans don't know even what jihad means at this point. They don't know what Sharia is. I talk to people about Sharia, they look at me like I have three heads. They've never heard of it.
And while the Fort Hood massacre is a stunning recent example, critics point out that it is by no means the only instance of the media ignoring the Islamic component in world events.
Nobody is discussing the ethnic cleansing of the Christians in Egypt and the ethnic cleansing of the Christians in Indonesia. And whenever anybody talks about Darfur and Sudan and everybody, you know, George Clooney and Mia Farrow, nobody says what it is. That was a jihad that slaughtered 2 million Christians, animists, and moderate Muslims in a jihad of northern Sudan against the Christian South. Nobody's discussing these things. The pirates, we're always hearing about pirates in Somalia. That's jihad piracy. That's what that is. In Ethiopia, they're on the front lines of fighting jihad.
But it appears that the media is not the only entity refusing to connect the dots on jihadist terrorism. According to critics, the United States government has been doing the same thing.
There is an obvious and astonishing degree of political correctness going on in the Pentagon today.
When the Pentagon report investigating the Fort Hood shootings was released, it did not mention Nidal Hassan by name, and it did not once mention Islam anywhere within its 86 pages. Former Secretary of the Navy and 9/11 Commissioner member John Lehman told Time magazine it, quote, shows you how deeply entrenched the values of political correctness have become, unquote.
When an act of terrorism takes place on an American Army base, Fort Hood, where the documentation is there for everyone to see, the man screaming, all the Islamic things that one screams before doing committing murder, the fact that he had his business card, all the evidence that the man was an Islamic fascist, and yet there's no report in the Pentagon that says this.
Think of the millions of dollars in the leadership of the Pentagon that wrote a report on Fort Hood that didn't have the courage to talk about the theological aspects of what drove Nidal Hassan, I think is demonstrating that we are completely wasting our time and that we're not addressing the root causes, which are the separatism of political Islam from American-type societies.
Dr. Zudi Jasser is a Muslim physician and the president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, which advocates for the separation of mosque and state.
Even as a Muslim, if I want to, as a physician, treat the problem, I can't treat a problem that we're not discussing. And I'm in no way saying that Islam is the problem, but what I do want people to realize is that there's some interpretations of Islam that are the problem.
Though the treatment of the Fort Hood shooting is a recent example, critics are quick to note that disconnect between Islamic ideology and actual acts of terror are widespread within the government.
An approach that is spawned by the best of intentions progressively turns into something that is absurd and counterproductive.
Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Andrew McCarthy successfully prosecuted Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the so-called blind sheikh, the alleged mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, for plotting terror attacks around the U.S. As a result, Abdel Rahman is now serving a life prison sentence.
So, for example, in 1993, we start out by saying these people who bombed the World Trade Center are not representative of Islam, not representative of any mainstream Islamic ideology. They're a fringe element that have perverted Islam, lying about Islam. Now, that seemed at the time, I thought, to be a harmless fiction, because whatever the government was saying on the steps of the courthouse, we were not prevented inside the courtroom from showing exactly why the terrorists committed the acts that they committed. We were never stopped from showing the nexus between Islamic ideology, Islamic scripture, and Islamic terror. But you keep doing this sort of stuff over the years, and then the next thing you do is you're purging everything that Americans need to know about Islamic ideology. You're taking Islam off the table.
These words have been leached out so that now if you say jihad in the American government, oh no, I'm sorry, that's a career killer. You just lost your promotion. If you say Islamic terrorism, if you put Islam and terrorism next to each other, or if you go against Sharia, if you go against the word Sharia, that's a career killer.
Instead, we get 9/11 attacks happen, and President Bush gets himself to the nearest Washington mosque so he can pronounce that Islam had nothing to do with what happened on 9/11. That became such a driving premise of the way the government thought about this. They've basically denied us the language to make people understand the conflict in this hallucination they're under that somehow Islam can be bleached out of Islamic ideology and Islamic terror.
Frightening, isn't it? Our future and that of our children and grandchildren is at stake if we continue to deal with radical Islam in a politically correct way. It does the country no good and makes us no safer if we continue to deny the threat or pretend that these attacks are about things other than radical Islam. If we continue to look to psychological and emotional excuses for the attacks, we'll never understand what's causing them and how to stop them.
How can we possibly deal with a real threat if we can't name it? Well, Dr. Kennedy had no compunctions about telling the truth about radical Islam. And now at Truth in Action, we've compiled 7 of his most compelling messages on this issue into a new set called The Threat of radical Islam. What you've seen today is just a taste of what's included in this set. We shortened Dr. Kennedy's message for TV, but it's included here at its full length, along with other messages like When the Towers Fall and A Shield for America. Virtually a day doesn't go by without some headline about an Islamic attack somewhere in the world. Do you understand what the threat is all about? Can you articulate a Christian response? Well, this Essential 7 DVD series provides that and much more, and it's available exclusively through this ministry. To receive your set, please send a generous donation of any amount for the ongoing work of this ministry. Write to us at Box 6056, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. Sadly, the media often doesn't really tell the truth about radical Islam, which they tout as a religion of peace. Religion of peace? But to come to that conclusion, we must ignore 9/11, Benghazi, Fort Hood, the Boston Marathon bombing, the killing of Christians in Sudan, in Syria, in Iraq, and on and on. How are we to understand this threat from a thoughtful, educated, well-articulated Christian perspective? Dr. Kennedy provides just that in these Kennedy Classic messages, available only through this ministry, for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry for a limited time only. You don't want to miss this 7-DVD set, The Threat of Radical Islam, by Dr. D. James Kennedy. Write to us at Box 6056, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. This set is available on audio CDs as well. Just tell us which you'd like.
Perhaps you can give $60 or $70 or even $100 or more. It's your donations and your prayers that keep this ministry going, and we are very grateful. So please be sure to send a generous gift today. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless you as you stand with us.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The persecuted church in 2014, we've identified more than 60 countries where Christians will face persecution this year.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.